a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone. Senate Education will now come to order. Just feeling a tad like a slave driver when we're at crossover day. And, you know, we probably should have batched our bills differently, huh, Senators? So it could have given you some time. Senator Maher's looking at me like, yeah, could have thought of that ahead of time. All right, we'll have the Secretary please call the roll.
Senators Kurd, Jensen,
here.
Jones,
here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
We do have a quorum. All right, everyone, welcome to Senate Education. We're really glad that you're here, and a special welcome to our internet listeners. We appreciate you being a part of the process. We have new pages this week, and they're just looking very bright-eyed, so I wish our internet folks could see them. Would you please come up to the mic and share who you are and where you're from and what you might be thinking about for your future? You're going to be asked that, like, I don't know how many times over the next couple weeks.
I'm Jenny Palmer. I'm from here in Pierre, and I plan on either going to Montana State University or University of St. Thomas for business management.
Welcome.
And I'm Sunny Gan. I'm from Chamberlain, and I'm undecided on a college, but I plan on majoring in international politics and history.
Ooh. International politics and history. Welcome. And we're really glad that you're here, and thanks for all that you do to help us complete our political process. It's really necessary that you're here. Hope you have some fun, too. Would ask everyone to just take a look at your cell phones, and this would be a great time to silence them. We're not big fans of being interrupted by cell phones, so, and we actually do assess a little tax on everyone, even though we don't like to levy taxes all that often, but to give to a charity. So thank you for that courtesy. All right, we have minutes in front of us, Senators, from February 20th. Motion to approve.
Second.
And we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes carry from February 20th. Thank you very much. All right, when we look at our agenda, I would alert you to House Bill 1249, which would have been our last bill today. That is actually going to be deferred now until next Tuesday at the request of the sponsors. There's some things they want to try to work out together before they bring the bill and have a little bit stronger language that is negotiated. So 1249 will be heard next Tuesday. All right, let's get to work. We'll begin with House Bill 1030 to provide for the confidentiality of certain evaluation data. Proponent testimony. Good morning, Madam Secretary.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Melody Schaap, Department of Education. The bill I bring in front of you is really quite simple in that what it does is it clarifies that evaluation data is not public record. But I'm going to talk about the genesis of this and why we are bringing this forward. In the past couple years, we've been working on the development of a teacher and now a principal evaluation system that is a model for the state of South Dakota. And with this work that's come forward, we began the work in creating standards for teaching, which we did not have in South Dakota before. And that was a work group that was put together about 3 or 4 years ago. And from that, then we have worked together with the Commission on Teaching and Learning to develop a new teacher evaluation system that I will say that I'm very proud of, and I think that the teachers would be very proud of, too, because they were the ones who developed it and created it and have brought this forward. In addition to that, we are doing statewide training in a couple different areas. We're doing training throughout the next year on something called student learning objectives, where teachers look at the data on other classroom students, set goals and objectives of where they want to move students, as well as we have a new system that helps us to be able to look at good teaching, not just good teachers in the evaluation system. So it's a different way, I think, that we are looking at evaluation. And you think about what evaluation typically means. Evaluation is sometimes used because you're required to evaluate as part of a system, or it was used for the purposes of employment, ongoing employment. But more importantly, what this new evaluation system is doing is it's helping to identify and help teachers to grow in their practice. And so we're very excited about this work. And as we were continuing to work alongside with the teachers across the state, we thought it was really important that we make sure that the information that is part of these evaluation systems, which we do believe under law, which is referenced in 127.1-57, is currently protected. But because we truly feel that this work is so important that we wanted to clarify that evaluation data is not public record, for the purposes of really making sure that those conversations that administrators and teachers have together remains confidential and helps to do what it's intended to do, to improve their practice. So with that, I would stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1030. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sandra Waltman. I'm with the South Dakota Education Association, and we are here in support of House Bill 1030 today. Dr. Schott mentioned the work of the Commission on Teaching and Learning and the work they did with the teacher effectiveness model, and we just want to go on record again saying publicly that we appreciate the work of Dr. Schott and the Department of Education they did in the collaboration of the effectiveness model. This is work that we are very proud of, our members are very proud of, and we look forward to working together to make it successful. The reason we're supporting House Bill 1030 is because we believe that this is an important tool to making sure that this is a success. Dr. Schott talked a little bit about the student learning objectives, and what those are is really an opportunity for the principals and the teachers to collaborate on individual teachers' goals to make sure that students are showing growth throughout the school year. And within those student learning objectives, you're probably going to see some student data, identifiable student data. And so that is why we are in support of House Bill 1030, is because in order to protect the student learning objectives, we believe this is necessary. So we hope that you'll go on and support the bill.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1030. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Rob Munson, School Administrators of South Dakota. The first version of this bill, we were just a little concerned, even though we knew everyone had cover under 127.1-5. We worked with the department to include all school employees in this. We were fearful, even though that the teachers and the principals were spelled out in this, that we were concerned that the janitor's evaluation might be open, superintendents, other staff employees. So we just encourage the department to include all school employees. We stand in support of this bill.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1030. Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Seeing none, we'll open it up to committee questions.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Jensen.
Question for the Secretary. Morning, Madam Secretary. I noticed that I haven't been following this too closely. We've had our own plate pretty full over here, but I was wondering, I noticed there were 17 nays on the House floor. What was the main objections that, if you recall?
Madam Chairman, Senator Jensen, I actually did not listen to the debate on the floor because we had support within the committee passed it out of House Education, and so couldn't tell you in particular what those objections were to that conversation.
Any further committee questions? Then I will close House Bill 1030 to the public testimony phase and open it up for committee action and or discussion.
Chair.
Yes, Senator Rampleberg.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Rampleberg to pass and seconded by Senator Jones on House Bill 1030. Discussion on your motion.
Yeah, quickly, Madam Chair. You know, this is the world I lived in for a lot of years, and this whole process of keeping personnel information confidential is just it's the way the business world works. The only thing that could pierce that would be some sort of a court order, and I'm absolutely in agreement with what's going on here, and I think the intent is good because I think other school employees sometimes can cover kind of a – anyway, it's important that we cover a broader spectrum, so I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
Any further discussion, House Bill 1030? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll. It's a do-pass motion on House Bill 1030. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
Senators Kurd.
Aye.
Benson.
No.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampleberg.
Aye.
Gulkey.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Sobel.
Aye. House Bill 1030 has been approved on a due pass motion to the Senate floor. Senator Rampelberg, would you take this down to the Senate floor?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. All right, we will now move on to House Bill 1126 to revise the persons authorized to countersign school board payments. Proponent testimony. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Kyle Shanefish, District 19. 1126 really is a simple bill. Right now, all the checks for school districts need to be signed by the business manager and either the board president or the vice president. And this is important segregation of duty. It prevents fraud and errors. And the reason I'm bringing this bill is a matter of convenience. For example, the Tyndall School District, both of the board members work in Yankton, so it's difficult for them to come in and look at all the checks before they sign them. Woonsocket has their board president, I believe he works for Coke, so he's on the road a lot. And then out west in, you know, a lot of the more sparse districts, it's difficult for them to come in and sign the checks. And I look at this not just as a matter of flexibility, but also a strengthening of internal control, as this will allow the board to designate the member that they feel is best situated for this very important duty. So I ask for your board support, and thank you, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1126. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Thiessen. I represent the Associated School Boards of South Dakota, which is 150 of the 151 school boards in the state. And we support House Bill 1126. The rest of my year, I do a lot of corporate work, a lot of legal work for various corporations. Frankly, 1126 represents just good business. Frequently, you have situations where whoever is the signer of the checks is unable to be there. And nearly every corporate entity that I create, we always have a secondary signer. So I think this just brings some practical sense to what's going on with regard to the ability to pay the bills, just like any other business entity. So we support the legislation.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1126. Seeing none, are there opponents to House Bill 1126? Seeing none, committee questions. Seeing none, we'll close 1126 to our public segment and move it on to committee action and or discussion.
Madam Chair, I move due pass on 1126.
Thank you, Senator Maher. Due pass motion. Is there a second? Who seconded? I'm sorry. And Senator Jensen, a second. Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll on a due pass motion for House Bill 1126. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
Senators Curd.
Aye.
Benson.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Sobel. Aye.
House Bill 1126 due pass to the Senate. Consent. All right.
All right, we will.
Excuse me. We're going to be at ease for just a moment because we need to get someone on the phone for House Bill 1167. So as soon as we get her ready to testify by phone, then we'll move forward. Yeah, we're moving on to House Bill 1167, but we're just going to be at ease for just a moment. So okay, we'll just hold for a second. So we make sure our technical issues are worked out.
Hello, Ms. Kelts. This is Doug Beckers from the Senate Education Committee. I'm calling and connecting to the committee. It's going to happen. I have to push a button, and then someone will need to speak into their mic to be able to connect. You know, you can. That's up to you.
Good morning, Susan. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, all right.
You don't want me to introduce.
We're going to have you hold for just a moment because we do have Representative Sly here, and she's going to introduce the bill.
Okay.
And then we'll move on to you.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right. All right. We'll come back to order, and we will take up House Bill 1167.
Madam Chair and members of House or Senate Education Committee, this bill came about because of a meeting that I had before session. You know how we go to the coffees and receptions, and it was with the Nurses Association, and during that conversation, it came up about the need for this particular piece of schools to be able to have a stock of epinephrine on hand and have it available if it's needed. And with that, I struck up a conversation with Susan Keltz, who's on the phone. And unfortunately, she had a skiing accident, and I think she broke her leg. And so she's not able to be here today, but she can come by phone. And I will stand by if there's other questions, too. But she's the one that has the expert information. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. All right, we're taking further proponent testimony on House Bill 1167. So this would be the time for you to introduce yourself, Susan, and talk about what you do and share your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Susan Keltz. I am a registered nurse. I am currently employed by the Rapid City Area School System. I am here to testify on my own behalf for House Bill 1167, which, as you know, is an act to allow schools to maintain a stock supply and to administer epinephrine by auto-injector. The issue is that 1 in 25 children today are affected by allergies. I know that in my elementary school of over 500 children, I have at least 20 to 22 children who have some type of allergy. Also, in the last 10 years, there's been an 18% increase in food allergies among children. And probably the most startling statistic is that in 24% of school incidents of anaphylaxis, the school staff was unaware of the child's allergy. Now, children and adolescents are most at risk, and anaphylaxis can be triggered by foods such as peanuts, tree nuts, fish and shellfish, insect venom, medications, latex, and children who already have asthma or respiratory allergies and eczema tend to be more susceptible to allergic reactions. And just a couple of incidents, in 2012, a 7-year-old student in Virginia died at school because she had an allergic reaction to a peanut product, which was given to her on the playground. There was no epinephrine available. And shortly after this incident, Virginia did pass legislation requiring schools to have stock epinephrine on hand. In 2013, just last year in Tennessee, a third grader was stung by a wasp, developed welts, and had trouble breathing. Well, nurse did have stock epinephrine on hand, administered it, and saved the child's life. Had she not had that, it would have been a 30-minute drive to the nearest emergency care. Now, in November of 2013, the School Access to Emergency Epinephrine Act was signed into law by President Obama. This law encourages states to adopt laws requiring schools to have stock epinephrine auto-injectors available and also to ensure that school personnel are trained to use them. Now, this epinephrine, again, is stock epinephrine. It's not prescribed for a specific student, but can be used for any student or staff member in an anaphylactic emergency. Right now, about 30 states have laws or guidelines in place allowing schools to stock epinephrine auto-injectors. 4 states require their schools to have auto-injectors, and those states are Maryland, Virginia, Nevada, and Nebraska. The Centers for Disease Control recently issued its first guidelines to schools on how to protect children with food allergies. Now, these guidelines are voluntary, and they ask schools to take steps to restrict common allergy-producing foods and to make epinephrine available. South Dakota School Nurses Association and others are supporting House Bill 1167, which is a more permissive law. We are not asking for a requirement for this, just to allow schools to do this. So why do we need this legislation? All research shows that epinephrine is the drug of choice for anaphylaxis. In South Dakota, some school districts already have stock auto-injectors. Most do not. Now, for those with known allergies, it is the parent responsibility to provide an auto-injector. I know from my own experience, in reality, a significant number of parents do not, for whatever reason, provide an auto-injector for their allergic child. These stock auto-injectors would be available for those cases in which anaphylaxis occurs in a person with a previously unknown allergy or for a student with a known allergy but whose parent has not provided an auto-injector. Now, I know that cost is always an issue when we're talking about implementing any kind of a program. But the way to get around cost, and these EpiPens in and of themselves can be fairly costly. But the company that makes them, Mylan, has a program called EpiPens for Schools that provides both adult and junior two-pack auto-injectors for schools free of charge. And the two-packs are provided because often in an anaphylactic reaction, a second dose is needed after about 15 to 30 minutes. Rapid City Schools, before we got involved in the EpiPens for Schools program, we did work out an arrangement with a local pharmacy to get our EpiPens at a significantly reduced price. And I will tell you that for a patient-prescribed epinephrine two-pack, for a person who has no insurance and is just paying for it out of pocket, an auto-injector can cost anywhere between $260 and $360. So they are spendy in and of themselves, but there are ways to get around that. The staff training for school personnel is very easy to do. There is a free program from the National Association of School Nurses called Get Trained. It's available to all, no matter whether they're a member of NASN or not. The training takes 1 hour or less. And it can be done by the school nurse or any other licensed health care provider, the county health nurse, the clinic nurse, the physician, PA, nurse practitioner. Standing orders for the use of auto-injectors in an anaphylactic emergency can be written by the county health officer, a clinic physician, a PA, or nurse practitioner. The nice thing about these injectors is that there is no drug calculation to be done. There is no decision about where to give it. There's very standard, easy-to-follow directions for administering these. Again, epinephrine is the drug of choice. It must be given without delay. You cannot wait sometimes for 15 to 30 minutes for emergency medical service in our more rural areas of the state. The most common error is waiting too long to give it or not giving it at all. And fatalities in school have been associated with delayed epinephrine administration. So I ask for your support with this bill. Lives will be saved.
Thank you. Susan, are you able to stay on the line so we can take further proponent testimony and then if there are committee questions for you?
Yes, I can.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to further proponent testimony, House Bill 1167. Good morning and welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the Education Committee, my name is Jean Hunoff. I'm a state senator from District 18. I'm here to ask for your support on this bill. I think the key words are life-threatening, and that means we need to respond immediately. And certainly the research has shown that if you make these available, the people are trained in them, that will do it. I think we have an example already in our school system where we have AEDs. Those are used for life-threatening situations. Individuals are trained, and we've seen the success from implementation of those. Again, everything is provided here. It's a benefit. It's to have it accessible in our school systems. And when we're talking about medical emergencies, that is key for all of us. The Department of Health was unable to be here at the House testimony. They provided verbal support that they, too, would like to see these in the school. So, again, I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And testimony on House Bill 1167. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brittany Novotny. I work with the South Dakota Nurses Association. The nurses certainly support this bill as well. As Ms. Keltz mentioned, almost one quarter of the school cases of anaphylaxis are due to previously unknown allergies. So this truly would be life-saving. Now, I've had the great fortune to work with nurses for many years. I myself am not medically trained, so I do appreciate that the auto-injectors are designed for use by medical and non-medical personnel. There's no calculation of drug dosage, no decision-making about where to administer it, and there are rare, if any, side effects. So we certainly believe this will truly be life-saving. We would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1167. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Bell. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota State Medical Association. We just want to go on the record supporting this legislation and ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning again, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sandra Waltman with the South Dakota Education Association, and we're here basically to do a Me Too. This is permissive language, and we do think it will make our schools safe and healthier places, so we urge you to support the bill.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1167. Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to 1167? Seeing none, committee questions. Yes, Senator Rampelberg.
Actually, I have three questions. And I know we have a lot of medical personnel here, but I'll choose to pick on Ms. Keltz.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Keltz, one of my questions is, I'm a banker, so I don't know much about medicine, but if this drug was administered to someone who really didn't need it, would there be some sort of a negative outcome?
That's actually a good question. The answer, I believe, would be no. The side effects, epinephrine is something we make already inside of our body. We're just adding to it to help an anaphylactic reaction. And so probably what would happen if someone was given this and they actually didn't need it, their heart rate would go up for a short time. Their face would get red. The half-life of this drug is very, very short. It's about 15 minutes. So those side effects even would be very, very short-lived. So probably no harm done.
Thank you. Second question is this a drug that some people might want to take to get high on? Is there a safety or some sort of a safeguard process that would need to be in place?
No, this would not be a drug that would make you get high.
Last question is, does it have a shelf life? Or does it last a long time sitting on a shelf?
Now, the shelf life is, the expiration date would probably be a year. We know that sometimes you can kind of extend that. So I would say 12 to 15 months of shelf life, yes.
So therefore, the procedures would entail replacing the
yes.
supply.
Yes.
Thank you. That's my questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Keltz.
Further committee questions? Seeing none, we'll close 1167 to public testimony and questions and open up to committee action and or discussion. Senator Welke moves to pass.
Second.
And a second by Senator Jensen. Discussion on the motion? I would just like to make a comment that, you know, I just think this is a really good thing to move forward with enabling legislation to help our schools be safe. I know that originally there was some consideration of the mandate, if you will, versus the permissive language to allow. And I think that most of our schools will start to consider allowing it. If none of you have ever been with a child that has a severe anaphylactic reaction that you've needed an EpiPen, I have. And luckily that child had their EpiPen with them and it was out in public. It's a very frightening situation. And for people to have this happen to kids in schools and to not have the ability to act is just, it's the most helpless kind of feeling. So I really respect Ms. Keltz for bringing this forward on behalf of our children from the school nurse's perspective. So any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll. All in favor of House Bill 1167, vote aye. Opposed, no.
Senator Kurd.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Stoll.
Aye.
1167 is going down to the Senate floor on a do-pass motion. Thank you very much for being on the phone, Susan.
Thank you.
And heal fast.
All right. Thank you.
We will now move on to House Bill 1181, an act for the requirement of a certification of health from an employee of a school. And proponent testimony, welcome, Representative.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the esteemed Senate Education Committee. I'm Representative Peggy Gibson, District 22, and I'm from Huron. And this is a bill that does come out of my district by, excuse me, when you started talking about allergies, I had to go get some Kleenex, from a couple of attorneys. And this bill actually was in statute, and it was inadvertently done away with in the red tape elimination of extraneous bills and language. And these attorneys asked that this language be brought back into statute. I contacted the Department of Education. Their attorney said that the reason that it was eliminated is because the supporting statutes were outdated. But this language actually was in statute starting in about 1939 because of the tuberculosis epidemic and the need to remove an infected teacher out of the classroom to protect the students. And while I was going through testimony in House education, Dr. Eklund pointed out that tuberculosis, even though it was eradicated, mostly has been back, and there might be the need to have this language back in. It has been supported by the educational groups. I'm thinking they're going to be proponent testimony after I'm finished. But I'm just asking you to basically reinstate this language. It was amended in House education from school board to superintendent. And if you're going to tell me that not all school districts have superintendents, the definition of a superintendent in statute would encompass anyone, any CEO who is in charge of a school district. And the reason that the school board was taken out is because a superintendent could probably handle this matter with HIPAA regulations and so on and so forth, remove a teacher from a classroom temporarily, get the needed help, and then the teacher could go back in, and you wouldn't have to deal with HIPAA regulations with the entire school board. So I would ask for your favorable support, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1181.
Morning again, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Rob Munson, School Administrators of South Dakota. We worked with the sponsor of this bill. Initially, it was the school board requesting the certificate of health. And we thought waiting that time frame between when this is needed and the possibility of a board meeting was too long of a time frame. So we thought the superintendent who's there every day would be much more available to request this. And we made that change. So we go on record supporting this bill.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1181. Welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sandra Waltman with the South Dakota Education Association. And we're just rising in support of this legislation. We've had a lot of questions about our concerns about, and I have visited with our staff attorney, and she does tell us that it was in statute, and if it was put back in, it would probably be very helpful. So thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1181.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. On behalf of the Associated School Boards of South Dakota, I agree with all of the comments that have been made previously, and I think the only thing new that I would have to add in support of House Bill 1181 is that the ability to do this really is something that is helpful to both the rest of the school as well as the employee. It's used very rarely, I'm sure. But on certain occasions, it could be important to both the school as well as the employees. So we support the bill.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1181. Seeing none, opponents to House Bill 1181. Seeing none, we'll open it up to committee questions. Wow. We should all link arms, sing kumbaya today. All right, we'll move it to committee action and or discussion.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Maher.
I move to pass on 1181.
Do pass 1181 sure. By Senator Maher with a second with Senator Jensen. Further discussion? Seeing none, Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign.
Senators Kurd.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Oki. Maher.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
House Bill 1181 moves to the Senate floor on a do pass motion. Is there any further action to bring forward for Senate education today? We have a moved consent on 1181. Is there a second? And a second by Senator Welke. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1181 will move to the Senate on consent.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Representative. All right, so, Senators, we will meet again on Thursday at 8 o'clock, and we'll take care of all the bills that are starting to come over from the House. We do have a boundary change bill right now that has been calendared, House Bill 1071, which may take us a little bit of time. I was considering us starting a little bit later, but we will begin at 8 o'clock. Is there any further issues before Senate education today? Entertain a motion to adjourn by Senator Rampelberg, second by Senator Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Senate education is now adjourned.